It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming.
Hey, good Sunday, everybody. This is the Lord's Day, and so delighted to have you listening in here on VPN Radio on this Sunday. And many of you on your way to church, probably getting ready for church. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I love the opportunity to go to church, and I want to welcome churches all across America that are represented here on VPN. And today we have a special guest, a young man that's going to be talking about forgiveness, which is so very, very important. But before we talk to him on the phone, before we do some praying, which this is a prayer broadcast, I want to remind you that that I'm ministering today in New Orleans, and last night in Houma, Louisiana, and a suburb of New Orleans, and today at the Miracle Center in Gonzales, Louisiana, and Praise Church there in New Orleans. And you could go to Bilbo Ministries, that's B-I-L-B-O Ministries.com, to get more information. I want to welcome churches across America. We do have a new church that's praying with us today, Tree City Church, Meridian, Idaho. So I want to welcome Tree City Church. We now have 1,080 churches that are represented here on the Breakout Prayer Network. And we have churches, of course, all across America that are praying with us today. I want to welcome a few of those, Temple Temple Baptist Church, Springdale, Arkansas, Lighthouse Church, Warren, Arkansas, as well as Christian Worship Center, San Diego, California, Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship in Chula Vista, California. I want to welcome Living Word Fellowship, Dinuba, California, as well as Living Word Fellowship in Reedley, California. Conference Baptist Church is represented, Evergreen, Colorado, and the Community Presbyterian Church in Celebration, Florida. I want to welcome St. Paul's Church in Northport, Florida, as well as Trinity Village Baptist Church in Eastman, Georgia. And I want to welcome Calvary Campus Church, Carbondale, Illinois, as well as Hersher Christian Church, Hersher, Illinois. I want to welcome Hilltop Pentecostal Church, Seymour, Indiana, and Heartland Assembly of God in Ankeny, Iowa. I want to welcome Abundant Life Fellowship, Liberal, Kansas, and Covenant Community Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, as well as Dayspring Assembly of God in Frenchburg, Kentucky. I want to welcome Lakeshore Church, Covington, Louisiana, The Healing Place in Shreveport, Louisiana, as well as Cavoid Worship Center in Brighton, Michigan. Cornerstone Church, Pearl, Mississippi, praying with us, as well as Hilltop Community Church, Carson City, Nevada. Del Norte Baptist Church, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Community Bible Church in Cashiers, North Carolina. I want to welcome 4 Mile Run Christian Church, Youngstown, Ohio, Family Life Church in Altus, Oklahoma, The Gate Church, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Destiny Christian Center, Oklahoma City, and churches all across America. Welcome. If your church is not represented, you can go to letspray america.com. Letspray America.com. There's a sign up place where you can sign up your church, your city. And if you want to receive our daily prayers that we send out by email every day to thousands of people, you can put your email address in there and receive our daily prayers. We've been sending out over 3 years now every day. And so, what are we doing? We're calling America to pray. Believe in God for a million people, 1,000 churches, which we have exceeded that now, 1,000 cities. We have over 700 cities and 1,000 prayer leaders. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments. But Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would anoint this broadcast today here on BPN Radio, 24 hours a day, around the clock, around the globe at this time or any time, we are praying. And we have people in nations of the world that are joining us. And tomorrow, we're going to have a very special guest on, and we're going to be praying for the nations of the world as well tomorrow. But today, we focus, Lord, on forgiveness. And we pray you to anoint this broadcast. Anoint me, your servant, Dale Gentry, and anoint our special guest who certainly knows about forgiveness and the greatest story that I've ever heard concerning forgiveness. And so he'll be on in just a few moments. But right now I want us to pray before we have a song and before our special guest comes on. I want us to pray concerning this area of unforgiveness. And we know it's causing havoc in the local church. It's causing havoc in families. It's causing havoc in relationships. And I was just on the phone last night following the death of a relative of mine, and havoc in this, it's a distant relative, but havoc in this family after the death of this loved one. And you know, sometimes because of money and because of property and because of inheritances, family members are separated, sometimes never to be reunited because of challenges concerning money. No wonder the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so because of people being cheated out of their inheritances, not receiving equal property, etc., there's a lot of unforgiveness. People going through divorces are a father leaving the family. And so many times we justify ourselves because we just say, well, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what happened. But you must understand that when you hear this young man's testimony of how he is walking in forgiveness, I believe that you'll have a totally new perspective. And so on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday, on this Sabbath day, I just pray in Jesus' name that there will be a special ministry of forgiveness, and people will be willing to walk in love and forgiveness, regardless of what people has done to you, regardless of what they have said to you, regardless of what has happened. You'll still be determined to walk in forgiveness, knowing that forgiveness is not an act of your emotions, but forgiveness is an act of your will. And we know there's some people that have unforgiveness toward God. They blame God for certain things that have happened in their life, certain things that transpired in their lives. They blame God for it. And then, of course, we know the worst situation of all is that we blame ourselves. And we know that God has forgiven us and we have forgiven other people, but we just have a difficult time forgiving ourselves. And I just pray right now that this will be a broadcast today here on this Sunday, this Sabbath day, on this final day, this final Sunday of August 2015, that you will say, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm purposing in my heart to walk in love and forgiveness. And what's going to happen? You're going to find it there. Gene and I have a young lady that's going to sing on the broadcast today, and we have known her since she was a little girl. She's an incredible singer and recording artist, and she's going to sing a song about forgiveness, and then I'm going to be on the phone with my special guest today, and we just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you on this Sunday. I know He is waiting and willing, and so here's Carla Curley Craft right now to sing about the woman at the well, how she received forgiveness. A wonderful story. Carla Curley Craft.
She was standing at the well. He was a good man, she could tell. He didn't turn his face away. He looked as if he had something to say. As he opened his mouth to speak, she felt the color rise in her cheek. Her heart was beating fast. Was this Messiah at last? Could this be the man, the one that God would send, offering living water so she would never thirst again? She ran to tell her friends, come see a man who forgave my sin. Many came to him that day, for she dared to lead the way. Woman of God, stand up and fight. Jesus, she came. She had a past, they say, but he loved her anyway. She broke the box of perfume to prepare him for the tomb. He loved her for her praise. She was remembered for her faith. I was weary and undone, so lost higher in his love and power. His glory shines on me as I witness in this last hour. I am a woman of God. I'm gonna stand up and fight, for he has surely given me the right. You're a woman of God. Won't you stand up and say, Jesus Christ, the only way. Woman of God, stand up and be counted among his royalty. He'll set you free. This is your destiny. You're a woman.
Well, it's great to have with us here on BPN Radio today, Pastor Darren Frank from Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. And Darren has been my friend for many years. I've known him for a long time, since he was a teenager. And his mom and dad, I ministered for them starting years ago at a church that they founded, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas. Pastor Darren Frank, it's good to have you on the broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Dale. I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing through this radio broadcast.
Well, it's a delight to have you on. And, you know, you've shared your testimony at several different places where I've been. And I just want to, we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and I want you to pray for people that are having a very difficult time forgiving. And you have one of the most amazing testimonies concerning forgiveness that I have ever heard in my entire life and ministry. So would you just share a little bit about your story today, what happened to you, your family, and how you walk through this pathway of forgiveness? And then I want you to pray for people today that may be challenged with unforgiveness, saying, you know, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me, abused me, misused me, and I'm just having a difficult time forgiving. But I believe that people are going to be blessed by your testimony today. So share your story, Darren, and then we're going to pray.
Amen. Well, I know that unforgiveness across the board is almost in every person, I believe. And God wants to set us free. He wants us to make a decision to forgive. In 2009, I lost my brother to a tragedy, a death. And my mom and my family was just overwhelmed with the loss of my brother at the age of 42. And, we came together as a family. There was a lot of things that went on, and, you know, just believed and started trusting the Father, God. And just, you know, a few weeks after losing my brother, my sister came to me and she said, you know, life is so short. I want to do everything that I can to advance the kingdom of God. I want to be the person that God created me to be. And she looked at me and she said, would you help me move away from my husband? This was in the month of October. And she asked me, on the day after Christmas, would you help me move to mom and dad's house? I just need a few weeks away from him to get some things aligned and to get some stuff straightened out. And I just said, you know, yes, I'll help you. Is there anything that I can do now? And she said, no, I just want to make sure that I can do all that God's called me to do. And so nothing else came about that. Just a few weeks before the Christmas time in 2009, she called me and she asked me that if anything would ever happen to her, would I take care of her children? And she said, "Now I want you to listen to me. Would you love my kids if something happens to me?" And I told her at that time that we're family, that if anything would ever happen to her or children, that I would take care of everything, that we're family, and that's what family does. So we had a Christmas time, 2009, my mom, my dad, my sister, our family. It was a mighty time. And the day after Christmas, she called me and she said, "Okay, would you help me?" And I went over to her home, and everything that she owned was in black trash bags. And she asked me to take everything that she had to my mom's house, which was about a mile and a half down the street. I knew at that time that she was really nervous, that she was wanting to hurry up. She has four children, three girls and one boy, that were very nervous that were there. And so we took all of the stuff and we moved her to my mom's house. Because the kids were a little bit nervous, I took the kids to get ice cream. We went to a movie. And when I came back to the house with the kids, I asked her, "Do you want me to stay here with you? Do you want me to just spend the night here?" And she said, "No, everything's going to be fine. I trust God." Just went home, and about midnight that night, I get a call from the Rosenberg Police Department asking me to come to my father and mother's house. I pull up at the scene, and there's yellow tape all around the home. And there's a policeman there that wants me to come to a car. And I'm just asking him, what happened, sir? What's going on? What happened?" And he just asked me to come to where my sister's children were. And on the way, I stopped at an ambulance, and just wanting to know what's going on. I saw my father sitting in the ambulance, and he had blood all over his face and all over his clothes. And I looked up at him, and I knew that he was shaking, and I just said, "Dad, what happened?" And he looked at me, and I knew by looking at his eyes that my mom was dead. And he looked up, and he said three words that changed my life, and it's three words that I continue to meditate on. He said, "I forgive James." And these three words were the only words he was able to say. I found out that James broke into the home. James is my sister's husband for 14 years. He was a prison guard in the state of Texas. And he walked up the stairs, and he woke up the four kids. And in front of the kids, he killed my sister. My little niece runs out, and she gets my mother, and my mom hands her the phone, and she calls 911. And my mom meets James at the top of the stairs, and James, with a knife, really just, there's a brutality attack on my mom. And my niece is standing there the whole time this is happening, and she's already dialed 911, and it's completely on the records of 911, of my mom speaking into James, saying, "James, Jesus loves you. He's the only one for you, James. James, he's the only answer for you." And she was doing this while she was being attacked. And her last words were, "Jesus loves you." And you never heard anything else. All you hear is screaming. All you hear are the kids. So I walk over to the kids where they are in the back of a police car, knowing that my sister and my mom were dead, that James ran out the front door, stabbed my father in the back of his head, and now he's gone. The kids had blood from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. The faces of the kids were just, I can't even explain it really in words, how they looked and how afraid that they were.
Wow. But I know this is it's a very difficult time. Every time you share this story, I know it's very difficult. Darren, but I know that so many people need to hear your story. In fact, I've even given you prophetic words that one day there will be a movie made of what happened, because so many people are walking in unforgiveness. And so, I mean, how did you come to a place where you could forgive? You could forgive James. I know he was on the run for a long time, and you took your sister's kids in, and they lived in your home, and you became a father to them. I know it was a very difficult time, especially while James was on the run. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Yes, they actually found James on March 6th, 2010, in North Carolina. We went on America's Most Wanted. John Walsh came to our family and said that he would like to help us and that he knows that they'll find James if we air on his show. And just a few weeks after the airing, it was on another show, Regis and Kelly, and there was a phone call. James was sitting in a mall in North Carolina. The police were able to go and just apprehend him. As far as the forgiveness, you know, I was able to hear my father say, "I forgive James." And those words just were so powerful to me. I just didn't know, though, how I was going to forgive him. You know, if someone takes your car, someone burns down your home, someone does stuff like that, I mean, it's so difficult. But those things are replaceable. And one day you'll get another car. One day you'll have another home. But if someone takes a family member from you, a mother, a sister, I know that there'll be a day that I'll see them again. But on this earth, I will never have them again, never be able to touch them, never be able to talk to them. I am very thankful that I've had them for the time that I did, but I really felt there was so much more in relationship that God wanted. And it just felt like that was just ripped away from me. When I saw James the first time in the courtroom, we walked into the courtroom. We were sitting there when they bring James in. He looks at my family, and he laughs at us so loud that they have to remove him from the courtroom and cancel the court that day. And I was being tormented, Del.
Yeah.
I can't even express to you, but I know that there will be people that will be listening to this broadcast that can understand the torment from the enemy, where he's got your ear and he's screaming in it and there's nothing you can do. It feels like you're just hopeless and helpless. And he controls every thought, every moment. And I found myself just in bed and couldn't get up. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't wake up when I did go to sleep. I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
And I was being tormented by this laugh, by what happened. And, you know, just a few months into that, my wife came to me and she said, "You know, Darren, you're not the only one in this. We need your help. Your dad needs you. The kids need you. I need you. You need to get up." And I can't tell you what that did to me. Even though I knew I needed to get up, I needed to do things, I found myself I couldn't do it. I was just saying, "God, just take me." The torment was so much, I didn't even want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to hear what my dad said. "I forgive James." And I knew, because the book of Matthew talks about the king that wanted the debt paid, and the man that owed him so much, there was no way ever he was going to be able to collect the money that he ever was going to be able to pay him. And he fell down at the king's honor, and he begged him for forgiveness, begged him to pardon him. And the king released that debt that he owed. And then the man went right out, and with his hands, he grabbed someone that owed him a way less amount of money, and he demanded that he paid him. And the word continues to say that when the king heard this, that the king put that man in prison, and he allowed the tormentors to torment him until he was able to pay the debt. And I have to tell you that if I would not have been able to forgive James, that I would not be alive today, that I was in so much torment. I was being tormented by the enemy. And forgiveness, and this is what the broadcast needs to hear, the people, forgiveness is not something that I just can do. Forgiveness is a decision. And I didn't feel like forgiving him. I didn't want to forgive him. I had all the right not to, but I had to make a decision that I had to get the tormentors to stop.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision to forgive him. My dad was able to do it on the very day that this happened.
Wow.
I forgive James. I would say that daily. I didn't feel like doing it, but I knew that I had to get up out of the bed. I had to get up and move on. And for the first 7 days, I forgive James. James does not owe me anything. He never has to apologize to me. I forgive him for what he did. I release him into the hands of God. He owes me nothing. And I said that for another 7 days. And on the 14th day, I felt that I was getting confident in that decision. And then I moved back, it seemed like, to day one again. But I was constant. I have to forgive him. And the reason that I had to forgive him, number one, I was being tormented. But the second reason is that I wanted to release him off of my hook and put him on God's hook.
There you go.
My dad told me that James took the lives of two women of God.
Yeah.
And that God will deal with this, and that we put our trust in him. And I was not able to release that. I was not able to release him until I started that decision to forgive.
Yeah.
And for a whole year, I made a decision to forgive James. I woke up every morning with that decision, and I would say it all day long until I could feel some kind of release daily, just to wake up the next morning again to say it again.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, "How often shall I forgive?" And he said, "Seven times." Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." I know that you've walked through this, Darren, and because of your not only willingness to forgive, but your determination to forgive, what has happened to you? I know we just have three or four more minutes here, but what has happened to you? What's happened to the kids? And what's happened to the church that you pastor and the school?
Yes. Well, the church and the people around the church definitely were following me in forgiveness. If I forgave, they were following me. My mom was a spiritual mother to the ministry. We have seen a mighty revival in our ministry, in our school, in our church. And it all started on making a decision to forgive. We had to forgive James as a church body, but as we forgave him, there were many people in many situations and circumstances that we had to forgive. We had to make a decision to forgive. And we started seeing, and I started feeling and knowing this personally, that I was being released. There was hope that came into my life, and hope is Jesus. And because of that hope, there was some healing that started, and healing's Jesus. And when I started moving into healing, there was freedom in my life. And I started just speaking that out to the people, and the people started really receiving great freedom because of healing, and healing because of decision to forgive. And we saw so many people be set free, and are set free even today. You know, I've said this, and there's so many miracles about this story. My children today are actually living back in the same room that my sister was killed in, and that's only supernatural. I don't want to go into all the circumstances of how we got back there, but we were completely led by God to move back into the home that I lost my brother, my mother, and my sister in. And in that home, there's God's presence, and that's the home that my father's in, and it's amazing what God is doing. So the church has just continued just to walk in freedom. It's moved out into our city now. Tonight, my oldest niece, Carissa, is taking a worship team into her school, Brazos High School, and has a speaker, and the entire school's going to be there, a high school, and they're going to hear the gospel. And she is so excited about what God is doing in her life. What happened in this story, Dale, is that felt like that we were stripped with every desire, every want that we ever had here in this earth, that so much was taken away from us. that the only desire that I have, that my family has, is to be and to do what God's called us to do. And that's taken away a lot of other things. And our purpose and our destiny is every morning to wake up and to be what God's called us to be. And there's a boldness that's flowing in our body, that's flowing in me, because of the decision to forgive and how God has met us in forgiveness, that it's only by His grace and by His love that we're able to press forward in. So wow. We see God moving. I'm also working in the prison system. I know that there'll be a day that I'll look James face to face. I believe I don't want anybody to go to hell. It doesn't matter what someone does to me.
Right.
I wouldn't want that on anybody in this world.
Yeah.
And I want to look at him, and for his children's sake and for his sake, I believe that I'm going to speak what my mother spoke, the very last words that he heard her say. I'm going to start with those same words, James, Jesus loves you. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but until that happens, I'm doing that in the prisons, Carol Vance unit, some units, Darrington unit. And I'm going to continue to be faithful until God says this is the time. And when he says that, I'm going. Wow. And only can go through God's strength.
Yeah.
I know that I'm one of the weakest men around, but because I know that I'm weak, I'm very strong.
Yeah.
Because I lean on his strength.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that he's here with me.
Wow. What an amazing testimony, Darren. And I know there's people listening that are struggling with forgiveness. I know if you can forgive and your sister's children can forgive and y'all can even move back into the same home where the tragedy occurred, I know that other people can forgive. And I want you to say a prayer for these people right now that may be struggling with unforgiveness.
Yes. Yes. One of the things I'm going to pray here, forgiveness is a decision. Again, you're not going to feel like doing it because of what's happened to you. You can stand and say it's not fair. And let me tell you, it wasn't fair. But until we're able to forgive, we will be tormented. And so let's pray. Father, we call out on your name. You're the one that heals.
Yes.
You're the one that sets us free.
Yeah.
You're the one that forgives. And Father, because you freely forgave me for everything that I've done, everything I'm doing, everything I will do, Father, I feel obligated to forgive others. And Father, I pray, God, for everyone listening right now. Father, I know that there are some traumatic things that happen in our world today. And there are things that are going to continue to happen. Father, I pray great freedom to be over your people because decision after decision after decision to forgive. Father, I pray, God, to even the minor things, to whatever's happened, Father, that we can rise up with your help and we can stand and we can say, I forgive James. Father, I was not able to do that by myself. Father, I needed to lean on your strength. And you say, Father, that when we're weak, that you're strong. You say, Father, that when we need you, that you would be there, that you're our refuge, that you're our strength. And Father, I call on your name right now. You know your sons. You know your daughters. You know what's happened to them. You know the situation. Father, I call on you that when that person rises up, and they speak out that decision, that the heavens are going to open up and flood these people today, Father. Father, I pray, God, that you release, Father, these things that have happened to so many people that hearing our voices today. And Father, that we're able to release these people, the people that have done us wrong, whatever's happened. Father, even release ourselves from wrong, things that we have done, and give it to you, Father. Release it unto you. Release it into your hands. Father, I pray, God, for a miracle to happen even now over your people. Father, I pray that we can stand and that we can walk, God, day in and day out. And Father, that we can know, that we would know, Father, that we have nothing against a brother, that and brothers have nothing against us, that we walk in fellowship and communion.
Yes.
And believing, Father, for
yes.
you to come.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we need your help. This is only done in you and through you. So, Father, I pray now, God, that you flood the rooms of the people right where they are, God, and that they would rise up with this decision and proclaim
yes,
it
Lord.
And speak it out
yes,
and
Lord.
Stand
yes.
until they release it in Jesus' name. Father, let it happen now.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. God. Thank you, Lord. And I set myself in agreement with you, Darren. Thank you so very, very much for sharing your testimony. And, you know, I do know your schedule is very limited, but, you know, if anybody would like to have you to come to a church or to a group and share your testimony, pray for people, I know that you have limited time, but I know they would be tremendously blessed. How can people know about your church? Do you have a website or get in contact with you?
Yes. The website is www.colw.info. And our church phone number is 281-342-6336. I am willing to come. One of the things about the testimony is that we have been asked by many, many people to put it in a book, to do these things. But God has spoken to me very clearly that the testimony is not over yet, that we will see a mighty revival.
Yes.
And we are standing and believing on that. But he has told me that to only go where it would advance his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been to churches and we have seen so many people released of unforgiveness and so many people set free. So I am willing to go if the timing works out, and it will only be to advance his kingdom.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I would highly recommend that. I highly endorse you, Darren, and I've been honored that you have shared your testimony and some of the services that I've led, and always people are broken, touched, and ministered to. And so I bless you and the church, your family, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and that's near Houston, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and you can contact Darren. And thank you so much for being on the program today, and I know that people have been touched and blessed by your ministry. Thank you, Darren.
God bless you, Bill.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, it's been a delight to have Darren Frank on with us on the broadcast today on this Sunday. His amazing story of forgiveness. And, you know, I get overwhelmed. Darren has gone to different places with me or come to places and shared his testimony. And I'm always amazed at how he has walked out this forgiveness after the murder of his mother and the murder of his sister, that he still is willing to say, "I forgive you, James." So this will be a great time right here to just declare, I'm gonna walk in forgiveness, and I am forgiven, and I am going to walk in that forgiveness. So I just pray for you right now in Jesus' name. Just pray in the name of Jesus that you will determine in your heart that you are going to walk in that love and forgiveness in Jesus' name. And we know it's not an act of your emotions. It's an act of your will. And you're just going to will to do it. I'm going to will to walk in love and forgiveness. I will. And with the help of God, you can. It's going to be a daily walk, because we know that there's no limit to that forgiveness, to your forgiveness or forgiving other people. And I know that many of you would say, well, you know, I'm forgiving him or her for the very last time. That doesn't mean that you have to necessarily stay in a relationship or remain close friends, but it does mean that you must walk in love and forgiveness. And as you do that, I know that forgiveness will certainly be your portion. And so in Jesus' name, We walk in love and forgiveness today. If you if you would like to have Darren Frank come to your church, he would be a tremendous blessing. And his testimony is just so incredible, and people's lives are changed. I mean your whole church can be changed. Your whole youth group, wherever it may be, could be changed in just one service, one day. And so I just declare in Jesus' name that he would be a tremendous blessing. Well, it's so delighted to have you here on BPN Radio. And we have Sanctus Real that is with us today, and we're gonna play this song by Sanctus Real. And Sanctus Real, it's called "I'm Forgiven." I had an opportunity to minister with this group several years ago at a county fair, and I know that you're gonna be blessed as they sang "I'm Forgiven." This is Sanctus Real. We're going to walk in love and forgiveness. Yes, we are.
Said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. I'm struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone and I cry. And in this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know. In the arms of Christ.
Sanctus Real, Sanctus Real, and I'm Forgiven. Wow, it's a great song. You can get that on iTunes. Good to have you listening in on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. I would like to say that I really need I need pastors and churches to join me as a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. There's no charge. And I send out a weekly prayer request list that you can include in your prayer service. But I'd like for you to go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and there is a box, 1,000 prayer leaders. And what would be great if you just sign your church up to be a part of us agreeing together, the power of agreement. And I know that many of you already have a prayer group going, but you've not signed up as a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. And I would be delighted to have you as a part of that. And I'm just praying that you will consider and go to bpnradio.com. You click on the 1,000 prayer leaders, and then you just register right there. And then we will list you and your church. So I just want to give a shout out to some churches that have already signed up to be a part of our network. We know we have some individual groups, some private locations, but today I just want to recognize some churches and encourage churches to be a part of this. Malcolm Burton, School of the Holy Spirit, The Woodlands, Texas. Eric and Aaron Marte, Rock Family Worship Center, Petersburg. Parkersburg, West Virginia, and Bill Hart, Cathedral of Praise, Austin, Texas. We have Steve Hayes, Sapphire Ministries, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Dana Price, Church of Love, Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have Bussingling Charles, River of Joy, Kampala, Uganda. We have Tracy Johnson, Saskatoon Christian Center in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Terry Dando at Cross Church International, Carlsbad, New Mexico. Art Evans, Christian Worship Center, San Diego, California. Rob Mays, Radiant Life Church, Cedar Hill, Texas. We have Phil Larson, Hope Connection, Gainesville, Texas. Adolfo Pacheco, Clearview Church, Chino, California. Jim Loper, Cornerstone Church, Amarillo, Texas. Jamie Peters, Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida. We have Lawrence Neeson, Destiny Christian Center, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Callie Hargraves, our spiritual daughter there. Celebration of Life, Baytown, Texas. Rick Rapp, Gateway Church International, Roslyn, New Mexico. Brian Rosenbarger, Trinity West Church, Wellington, Florida. And Polo de la Cruz, El Quintro, Topeka, Kansas. We have New Harvest Church, Clewiston, Florida. We have Cleburne Family Fellowship, Cleburne, Texas, Mountain Harvest Worship Center, Hendersonville, North Carolina, and many others. And we would like for you to be a part of our network, if you will. Go to bpnradio.com and you can click on there. Thank you so much for being a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. Thank you so much for being a part of BPN Radio here on this Sunday, this Lord's Day. And remember, Gene and I are praying that the best is coming your way, believing for you. And you can also pray for my wife, Jean. She's having some physical challenges. And it would be great if you could say a prayer for Jean Gentry, that I call Mrs. America. Today I'm ministering in the New Orleans area as we commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Hurricane Katrina. And I'll be ministering this morning at the Miracle Center, Gonzales, Louisiana, and also at Christ Church in New Orleans, Metairie, Louisiana. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.